Okay, everyone, welcome back to the second church in the letter of Revelation. Just a quick point before we begin. The dinner, the men's meet and meat dinner on the 4th of November will now not be at the Laurieton United Services Club. We've had to cancel that, but men's meet and meet will still be on the Saturday night, the 4th of November, at church instead, and we'll be working out something else because the speaker who was going to come and speak as a military chaplain has actually been deployed and will be called up to be doing something secret in regards to the present upheaval in the Middle East. But please be praying, and please, on November 11, please decide to come along to the prayer meetings. Please tell your group about it. We really want to see the most people ever praying that we've ever had, not because we just want to win some medal or something, but because we want people to be praying. That's the 11th of November on that Saturday morning. We're going to look at Smyrna, and one of the things that you'll notice is there's something missing in the pattern that you will see across the other churches. And what is missing is there is no warning. And what that does is actually highlights that fact. There is only commendation for Smyrna and one other church. So two out of the seven receive no warnings, which is a pretty amazing thing. Again, question one, read chapter one, particularly noting the description of Jesus towards the end of the chapter, because that description of Jesus applies throughout the whole book. Particularly note for today, verses 17 and 18. Question two is read the letter, in particular, to Smyrna, and chapter 2, verse 8 following. Now, the parts just under question two, that's where all the work is. Questions 3 to 8 are more about reflecting on the work that you've already done. So spend some good time working on this from the text and thinking them through. Because there is no warning in particular, then questions 4 and 5 on the next page will sort of not apply. But I wonder if you can try and reword them. For example, question 5 could be, what would it look like for Smyrna to be faithful and overcome? And what will faithfulness and overcoming look like for us as a church? There's one. Well, how is question two, how is Jesus described? What does this say about him? Well, he's described as the first and last who died and came to life again. Please note verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1, key to read that again. The first and last is an idea that really refers to Jesus' divinity. In the Old Testament, God the Father is seen as the Alpha and the Omega. And in Revelation, God is the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus is, in Revelation 21:22, referred to as the first, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. And so this is a clear divine point about Jesus. And the thing about Jesus, his death and he's come back to life again, that is the whole resurrection. What's the encouragement? The encouragement in Smyrna is that Jesus knows. That is, he knows their affliction and their poverty. But the point is, he knows. And he knows in the sense more so, more than he is just aware of what they're going through, and even more than he is with them in what they're going through. But he has actually been through what they are going through. He has faced what they have faced. And he has come through it. He has led the way, and those who follow him will also come through it. Those who do not follow, those who are not faithful, who are overcome, they will not follow him into the resurrection. One of the things about this letter is that Jesus says to those at Smyrna, some of you are going to die. And to hear that is hard. What they need to hear following that is that they are following the one who has been through it and will has risen again and will bring them to life again. Things are looking bad, but it's okay, they're going to get worse. But it's okay because after it gets worse, it's not going to get better, but it's going to get the best. So there's no warning, but there's still an exhortation. And what's the exhortation? Be faithful to the point of death. And verse 11, be an overcomer, be victorious. What's the incentive? Well, the incentive is be faithful even to the point of death. Verse 10, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. You will have the crown of life. Verse 11, be overcome. What's the incentive? That you will not be hurt by the second death. And that is why he can say they're rich. Their richness is invisible. Their poverty is visible. But what they cannot see, they must live by. That is, they're living by faith. I want to say at this point that it would be very easy to apply this and say, well, we should pray for the persecuted church. And that's good. Pray for the persecuted church. But one thing that risks doing is distancing ourselves from the need to be faithful and overcome where we're at. Because although we are not so much a persecuted church as these ones might be, nobody at church is being killed for being a Christian, and probably no one in Australia will be ever killed for being a Christian. Well, ever has been, and who knows if it will happen, but probably not. But we do have opposition, and I think those oppositions are fear and wealth. And wealth and materialism, the love of wealth, is the great rival God to find our security, and how much cash we've got and how much property we've got is very, very easy. We're immersed in this world and we're immersed in materialism, and we really have to fight it. We have to be faithful and overcoming even to the point of death. And the fear there, a lot of people fear all sorts of things. We really need to know that when the fear of the second death is taken away from us, and the second death is judgment, the second death is hell, you can see that at the end of Revelation, when that fear is taken away, then there is nothing else that can worry us in all of these things. So as you move through this letter to Smyrna, I think that there is application there and really thinking about wealth and fear. Other things that you might want to talk about are, what is it to be? Why does he call the Jews the synagogue of Satan? Is he just calling all Jews that? Isn't that a bit anti-Semitic, that sort of thing? Please think through that, because it's not anti-Semitic. It's actually just really picking up some of the opposition that Jesus had towards him from the Jewish people, but not only Jewish people, Gentiles as well. I just want to read you to finish the words of a song by Martin Luther, which really could have been exactly sung by those who took the message of Smyrna, the letter to Smyrna, seriously. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel and hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask, who may that be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Amen.